Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
This is the Ron Edmondson Leadership Podcast.
Well, thanks for listening to the Ron Edmondson Leadership Podcast. Ron's mission is to help church leaders become better leaders, and I'm your host, Nate Edmondson. This podcast is a conversation between father, that's Ron, and son, that's me, about practical leadership issues. As a young leader, my brother and I call my dad every week for advice on problems or situations that we're facing, and so we hope that by talking through some of our experiences, you'll receive some of the same coaching that we've been able to receive from talks with our dad over the years. Pops, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing well. Did I do an okay job in our very first episode summarizing the vision for the podcast?
Yeah, I think so. You know, when Lifeway and I began talking about doing a podcast, and we've had so many conversations over the years about doing a podcast and not just doing a blog, my first thought was about the young or maybe new pastor that's facing some of the same things that I've had to deal with some 35 years of leadership, and yet those years have prepared me to do them. And so, if I can help a leader out there, that's why we're here.
That's awesome. And I am one of those young leaders. And so thank you for allowing me to pick your brain on a regular basis. And hopefully we can carry that over to the podcast and it'll be helpful to people.
Well, I'm really optimistic that you're going to add some real value here too, because you're in the trenches doing it. Love watching you over the last few years and some really significant heavy lifting that you've done as a young leader. And so I think you're going to add a lot to the format as well.
Well, thank you.
But what we're going to do each time we have a podcast is kind of introduce a topic, kind of much like I've done for years on my blog, and then we'll talk through the problem and the topic, and then how it was handled. And so, again, hoping it's very practical leadership help here. And then as we get going a little bit, we may invite some listeners to send us some of their own problems, and we'll talk through them as well.
That's great. So we'll introduce the topic. You'll give us some principles. And that's something that I love about you as a leader is when we're talking, you a lot of times are trying to give me the high level principle so that I can figure out how to apply that in my situation. But so we'll talk through some principles and then we'll do almost like a case study, so to speak, where we'll take a real example from your ministry or your leadership experience. We'll dive into it and talk about how you applied those principles, what went well, what you would do better next time, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
So today's topic is leading negative people. Just so we are all on the same page, what kind of people are we talking about? What do we mean by a negative person?
Well, as a pastor, and negative people exist in every sphere. You're going to deal with negativity and with criticism and whatever you're doing as a leader, that just comes with leadership. You can't escape it. But as a pastor, that's the one who blasts you in the hall just before you're going up to preach. And you've had that happen. And, you know, you're focused on your message about what you're going to say, and they hit you with a problem. And you know as soon as you see them coming, that's what's going to happen. They're the ones, if you have a business meeting as a church, they're always going to have an objection. Every single time, it doesn't matter what you're talking about. They're just naturally inclined to raise objections. They're the ones that send all cap emails. I always joke about the all cap emails that I save those in case the FBI ever needs them. But here's one regardless of the leader out there, this will get you because it'll bring you into the equation. You'll understand what I'm talking about. They're the ones that when you see them on your caller ID, instantly something happens inside of you. Anxiety rises, sense of worry. Okay, what is it now? Because you know there's going to be a problem. problem. They just are simply negative people.
Yeah. And I've heard you talk about that. And then my first experience being a lead pastor has been this past year. And I felt it in a new way in that role. There was literally one person who, for the first 3 months that I was the pastor at this church, when I would enter the building, he was waiting for me, literally waiting for me, to let me know about the latest problem. And generally it was something so minor in my opinion. But
not in his.
Right. And it just, I told Courtney, my wife, that, you know, I just dreaded going to church on Sundays because I knew the very first thing I was going to have to do was bump into this guy. And I even tried, it's like he, anyway, that's another story. I tried to go in different entrances and he always seemed to know where I was going to be.
Courtney, your wife has actually said, you know, I don't know anybody that changes phone numbers as much as you have. Because when we moved from Tennessee to Kentucky, changed our number, moved to from Kentucky to Dallas, we changed our number. We're going to change our number again eventually. I'm going to change my number eventually in Nashville. It's because you know they have your number. Yeah. So it's a few people that make you change your phone number.
I always feel bad for the people who have your number, your previous number, you know? Yeah. So like the guy living in Clarksville who's still got your old Clarksville number, I feel bad for that guy. Anyway, what suggestions do you have for dealing with those kind of people?
Well, I would share three things. And you know, I'm a lister. So the three things, first, and it's the most important. And if you miss this one, I'm going to come across as a real jerk sometimes, you know, but I believe this one and I try to live it. You have to love everyone. You have to love people. You have to love even the most negative person in your church. First of all, it's biblical. I mean, we have been commanded to love even our enemy, but it's also extremely effective. I mean, like it's an effective strategic leadership principle to love people. You can't lead people well whom you don't love. And I have learned that many times people just want to be heard. You know, and they want to be listened to, and they want someone to know, maybe even, you know, the man you mentioned in your church. Sometimes it's just a matter, okay, I've heard you. And we're going to share a couple other principles that I may have done in that situation. But many times, once they're heard, they go on to something else. So you've got to love people. And I'll share, you know, I had one of those in one of our churches as well. And I have often said, and I mean this, it sounds harsh, and I really mean it sincerely. He was perhaps one of the meanest people I've ever encountered. I mean, some of the things he would say and do, I just could not even imagine someone, especially in the church and in the that claims to be a believer, would do these kind of things. And he became almost a standard for me in that church. And since then, I've always tried to find that standard bearer of if I can love them, then I can love everyone else in the church. And so with this particular man, it was challenged many times, many, many times. And you know the one I'm talking about and understand. But it was challenged to the point that if I was struggling with loving someone or, you know, loving others, I go back to him. Am I loving him today? Because if I could love this man, I could love anybody. And one of the things that happened after I had, and I said earlier about people wanting to be listened to. And one of the things that happened several years into our relationship is I just took an opportunity to listen to him, listen to his story more than his complaint, really listen to his story. It didn't change him necessarily. He was still the same, but it changed the way I saw him. And so I would even say if you're leading in the business world, you know, I tried to love we had employees when we owned a business who never could seem to get their life together. But if I could love them through their situations, they were better employees. They literally were better employees because they knew, at least they knew, man, that guy believes in me. That guy trusts me. That guy is, I mean, I'm not even trustworthy and that guy trusts me. And so it worked in the business world as well. And I totally encourage it, especially if you're a believer and are in the business world. So that's the first one. You got to love people. The second principle is this, is so first, love them. Second is level with them. And what I mean by that is don't gloss over the problem. If they're the ones that are constantly sending the all caps emails or they're bashing you in the hall, especially if they're doing it to others besides you, I mean, other people in the church, part of discipleship is letting them know. Still loving them, of course, but letting them know that, look, this, here's the problem. For example, if they're the ones that always come up to you right before you get on the platform behind the pulpit to preach, that's probably disrupting your mind and you're not able to deliver the kind of message that God has put into your heart. That's a kingdom issue at that point. And so you have to level with them, and you know, it may be you pull them aside when it's not Sunday morning and you say, look, here's how I'm wired and this is how my mind thinks and this is what I'm trying to do, and always give people the why behind it. So if you will approach me another time, it would be such it's a kingdom issue, and just kind of level with them. I had to do that with the man I mentioned in the love them, my standard bearer for loving. I had to pull him aside one time and actually several times and just say, I don't know if you know this, but you come across very offensive to people. Like you scare some people sometimes with your demeanor and the way you come across. And I just had to level with him. It didn't change him long term. It would sometimes correct the issue for a little while, and so it would be a little while before it would spread out the emails sometimes. But it was the right thing to do, to level with him and be honest with him.
The reason that's an important distinction is because we're not saying to love them means to let them forever continue without needing to address the sin issues or the just the unhealth that might exist in the way they interact with people.
Absolutely. Especially as it exists in the church. I mean, again, we're talking about making disciples. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says you, it's not really love if you don't include discipling or discipline, as the Bible calls it.
So what's the third one? Love them, level with them.
The last one is this. It starts with an L, of course. Lead them. Ultimately, God has placed you in a position of leadership. Should be a servant leadership. It should be a humble position of leadership. You should be humbled by having the opportunity to, but you have to move forward and not allow the negative people to keep you from leading and ultimately from leading well. You know, I couldn't let every email that this man sent me get me off track, or I'd have been off track all the time, because he sent a lot of those emails. It's important that as pastor or any other leader, that I can't allow a few negative or difficult people to hijack the church's progress. Now, please understand, I'm not claiming that this is easy. And it's taken me years of learning to do this halfway decent. But the work of the church is too important not to lead the church forward in advancing the gospel and making disciples. So you got to keep leading in the midst of negative people.
One time I remember being in a meeting with you, and I think it was a worship team issue. And the worship leader was basically saying, everybody knew we needed to make some kind of change. I don't remember exactly what it was. And the worship leader basically was saying, well, you know, the team's really not going to go along with this and the team won't like this. And I don't think people are going to get on board. And, you know, he had all of these reasons that this thing, it was just going to be hard. But everybody agreed it was the right decision. And I remember the way that you responded to him was, you said, remember that you're the leader. They're not leading you. You're leading them. Why is that such an important thing to remember?
Well, because that if people yearn for leadership, actually, people yearn for direction. And if no one is leading, if there's not someone in the leading position, nothing happens. I mean, everything stalls. Chaos presents itself. Huge disunity exists. So remember you, and again, I can't stress enough the humble servant, all of those sort of things, not dismissing any of those. We started with love them. But in the end, organizations, people, churches need those who are willing to step up and simply lead. And I've learned over the years that if you're willing to do the hard work of leadership, most people are willing to follow, even some of the most negative and some of the most difficult people.
So our three principles here that we got to keep in mind if we're going to lead negative people, we've got to love them, level with them, and then lead them. So let's talk about how you've actually applied this in a situation that you've faced as a leader. Can you walk us through an example of that?
Yeah, I would go to a time, and this will be very obvious. If you're a church leader, you'll understand the scenario. But we had two church services. One was very contemporary, modern worship. One was very traditional. The very traditional, and we were in a college town, and the more traditional one was the later hour, and the modern one was the early hour. I mean, it had an 8 in front of it, you know, when you're trying to reach college students. And we were right close to a huge college campus. Everyone agreed, we need to reach that college. We need to reach that college. From the youngest in the church to the oldest would have agreed with that statement. But you had, by very design, you were closed to them attending the service. So we recognized the problem, but getting the church to change that, I was told in the first year, that'll cost you your job, you know. So using those three, first was to love them. We took a year to make the change. That was a slow change for something like that I felt like it needed to be made right away. We took a year to do that. And we did that by gently guiding them. That was part of the loving process. Recognizing the change is hard. Having lots of conversations with people. Helping them process, the change. Now, if you're not a church leader, especially in a traditional context, you may be like, wow, you have to go through all that? Yes, you really do, especially in a 100-year-old church. You have to go through all that. That's part of loving the people. But then we had to level with them. I can't tell you how many times that I had to point out, if we don't make this change, here's the consequence in 10 years. Most of you, speaking of some of the senior adults that didn't want the change, most of you won't be here. And neither will anybody to take your place. You simply will not exist. A friend of mine says it takes 30 years for a church to die once it starts in decline. Okay, put the timer on that. How long is it going to take? When we got there, the church was already in decline. How long is it going to take from now? So leveling with the people, being very honest about why this change is needed and what the change is. And then the leading part is we just had to walk through the change very strategically. We made an entire brochure of why we were making this change. I mean, it was almost, looking back, like overkill to make this decision. But I'm not sure we would have been as successful. You know the other side of that story. The church had tremendous growth. It was all a part of leading them through that process. But it started by loving them and being honest with them.
So walk me through the timeline here. If it took you a year to make that decision, at what point are you coming out with brochures? And at what point are you starting
to bring this up? The loving part, the loving part is let's say a year, and I don't know that these dates are exactly correct. Yeah. The loving and leveling with them happened pretty much simultaneously. They were the same part. And that was part of the loving them was giving time just for them to get to know me, trust my leadership, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But then started having strategic meetings. Again, we're leading the whole time too, because loving is part of leading. But in the initial probably, so I'm trying to put timelines on it. If you said, here's a year, I probably took 6 months for them to get to know me. Then I took 3 or 4 months for me to level with them, share what this would look like, put together the brochure. Then the last couple of months was implementation. Here's what we're doing.
And in the first 6 months of you loving them in that section of it, which obviously you're doing all of this throughout the whole thing, but in that first 6 month window, are you bringing it up to people? Because you obviously, you knew this was a change that needed to happen the first day you got there. Are you planting that seed or are you testing?
I'm planting the seed along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Planting the seed along the way with a few people, then planting it with more, and then planting it with more. But it, literally in the first 6 months, not planting it very much at all, other than with a few key leaders that I knew, you know, had influence.
Got it.
And that'll be another episode where we'll talk about how do you make the decisions and how do you who do you go to first and how do you talk through. We'll do that in another episode. But yeah, it's very strategic process through that year.
Got it. Thanks for walking us through that, Fox.
Yeah, absolutely. And I look forward to many more of these.
Thanks for listening to the Ron Edmondson Leadership Podcast. For more information about Ron, check out ronedmondson.com. Have you listened to the One Thing podcast yet? The one hosted by Scott Sanders and Derek Hanna? They're part of our Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. They recently talked about leading change, the implications of COVID-19, and how to run online meetings. Just look up The One Thing on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.